Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Now, we finished last session with, I told you that the mustard seed you can plant in every climate zone, all over the world. And if it's cold like Sweden, rainy like England, or hot like Africa, doesn't matter where you plant it, it actually has the capacity to grow everywhere. And of course, Jesus is using that, not by coincidence. Don't think so. He's not using that just because it's a small seed, no. He's using that parable because that seed has certain characteristic. And at the same way, in the same way, your faith has certain characteristic. And it's so important for us to understand that. Because if we don't understand it, then we will limit ourselves. But it's very interesting because whenever Jesus is talking about faith, you always have this sense that there's no limits. Have you thought about that? Wherever he's talking about faith, he's talking about the impossible being possible. There are no limits to what you can do if you believe in God. There are no limits to what a church can do, what a church can perform, what a church can do if they believe in God. So that's why faith is so important. And that's why it's so important to understand the character of faith. Because just as I said, I mean, I'm this type of person. My person is not that interesting, but now I'm talking. So I'm that kind of person that I have been doing things and later I found out that it was in the Bible. Now, I don't recommend all of you to do that, but I started very early and I came into situations where I did certain things and I learned how to do certain things. And later on, when I became a better student of the Bible, I realized that this is exactly what the Bible is teaching. So that's why I am very excited about this climate zone thing. Because I still know that there is a lot of places where we still haven't gone to, preaching the gospel. And you know, my heart is still burning a lot for that. And I still believe that one of the statutes of the Human Rights Declaration should be, I just come from Geneva, so that's why I'm kind of full of all the human rights declarations. I think that one of the declarations should be that everyone, every citizen in this world should have a right to at least one time in his lifetime hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't make sense that there are certain nations that get a chance 200,000 times and then one nation doesn't get a single chance. Now, the only reason why it is like that, I believe and I'm convinced about, is because the body of Christ, that means you and me, we still haven't understood that there are no places that are impossible to go to. No, that's just a fact. Otherwise, we were gone very long time ago, especially when we figure out, which I've learned, at least to a certain limit, that the tougher place you go to, the more impossible place you go to, the more glory comes when you go by faith. You see, there is something there with the word impossible. I could speak 3 hours about the word impossible because I like that word. It's something that stirs up in me. Because the Lord spoke to me once, I'll not tell you when, because it takes so long time here. The Lord spoke to me once, many, many years ago. And he said to me like this, Bengt, I want to give you a passion for the impossible. Now that sounds very great, and I plan to write the book, Passion for the Impossible, but that would kind of take the edge of it. I like the expression, because it means that there is something inside of you that are longing. Longing to see the power of God move. That are longing to exercise your faith. That are longing to walk into the realm of the supernatural. That are longing to break down boundaries. That are longing to see the miracle signs and wonders when everybody is saying this is impossible. But there is something inside of you that is crying out, yes, I'm going there. I'm going to see it. I'm going to do it. Now you see, your faith is of that nature. Your faith is such. Some charismatic people think your faith is a pillow. But Jesus is a teddy bear. And that Father is Father Christmas. Everything is peaceful and nice. The whole world is going to hell. Wonderful. No way. Faith is not your pillow. Faith is an active force in your life. Faith is a seed that you are called to use. Faith is in your nature. The second thing I want to say about mustard seed, well, maybe it's more than the second thing, but the second point, whatever you want, revelation. But I found when I Googled, you know what I found out? I read in one place, somebody was writing about the characteristic and the nature of the mustard seed, and they said like this, you know, from experience, if you take a mustard seed and you put it into a soil that is sick, you know, you can have sick soils, and sometimes because of the sickness in the soil, the harvest is destroyed. But if you plant a mustard seed into a sick soil, into a sick field, the sickness, this is good. The sickness in the field, in the soil, does not affect the mustard seed. But the mustard seed is overcoming. And it's actually breaking through right there in the sick soil. And it's overcoming the sickness. And the guy who wrote this, he also said that you must say about the mustard seed that it's not very sensitive. I kind of liked that. And you see, I believe there is a reason why Jesus used the parable of the mustard seed. First of all, we take the sensitive part first. You know, sometimes we charismatic Christians, how many are charismatic here? So. But we are very emotional, aren't we? Or not. But a lot of times, you know, when faith, and you talk about faith and your faith life, to walk with Jesus and walk in the Spirit, and actually we are expressing a lot of emotions about it. And one day we can be up and one day we can go down. And you know all that stuff. You heard that, so you know about it. And we are not called to be like that. We are not called to be overcome of our emotions. But sometimes it feels, like those things are overcoming our faith. But then it's very important to know that your faith is not that easily defeated. I say that again. Your faith is not that easily defeated, because your faith is there all the time. And every morning when you wake up, God has been up for a long time already, because He never went to bed. And every morning He will continuously say the same thing to you. If it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, whatever. He will continuously say the same thing to you. When He have called you to do something, He would not change His mind about that. And it doesn't matter how much you have failed, whatever you have done, you know, because nobody is perfect, I guess. Except Jesus when He was walking here. But you see, God doesn't change His mind about you. You can change your mind about yourself. You can change. Your emotion affects you, and you feel like you have faith one day, or you feel like you don't have faith. But you know what I learned? Most of the time, when I don't feel anything at all, I kind of like that. I don't feel anything at all, and I exercise my faith, it works. And most of the time I see the best miracles then. It works. A few months ago, in August or September it was, a pastor friend of mine called me, and he said, I must talk to you. This is up in Sweden. He's a good friend of mine. He worked with me before. And he said, I must talk to you. And I said, yeah, what do you want to talk about? He said, you know our friend, and his name is Dennis, his friend, and he used to be a missionary. Our friend, he's in a terrible state. I said, what happened? Because I had just met him a few months earlier. He was in good shape. He said, you know, he's dying. I said, what do you mean, he's dying? Yeah, just some month ago they realized that his lungs are full of cancer. And doctor had said it's not operative. You cannot operate it. It's too late. It's going to live just a few weeks. And he said, can you come and pray? We need to pray for him, you know. I said, sure, I'd like to pray for him. So we decided on the Monday morning. I was up in Sweden at that time. And some Monday morning we should go over to his house and pray. And before I went, I asked the Holy Spirit, and I said, I want to have a word. Because it's important to have a word. I mean, when you want to see miracles, you need a word to stand on. So the Holy Spirit said to me, and he said to me like this. He said, I want you to go to his house, and I don't want you to talk too much with him, but I want you to curse the cancer, just like Jesus cursed the fig tree. So my friend picked me up, and we went together to his house, and we came into his house, and Dennis was sitting there, and he didn't look at all the same as I saw him last time, because he's lost like 40 kilograms in weight, and he was just skin and bone. And he was sitting there by the table, and he couldn't even lift his teacup up. He was so weak. And I thought, it's terrible. And then he looked at me, and he said, hey, look here, what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to kill me. But then he said, but I will not die. I will live. And I looked at him and I was like, yes, I said, yeah. You will. And then he said, the doctors have said I will die. But I will not die. I will live. And I said to him, you know what God told me? He told me to curse that cancer. And he said, good. And he opened up his shirt. I prayed for a lot of different things, and I've seen a lot of things in my life, but I never had anyone do like this. He opened up his shirt, wide open. And he said, as loud as he could, "Curse it!" I said, "Yes." And I cursed the cancer. And the power of God was there. And then he said to me, "Yes, now it's cursed. And let me tell you before you go, I have seen two pictures in my spirit. One picture is the x-ray picture of my lungs full of cancer. The second picture is a picture of new lungs. And I've seen myself sitting in the doctor's office when the doctor calls me in and he says, 'We have two pictures.' And he says, 'I cannot explain what has happened between the two pictures.' And then he said, 'I can explain. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus took my sin and sickness on the cross.' So I said to him, 'Praise God. Looking forward to hear the report.' 1 week later, he calls me. It's in September last year. And he says, 'I've just been to the doctor.' I said, 'Great, what happened?' 'You know what? The doctor called me into the office. And he said, I have two pictures. One picture is of the lungs full of cancer. The other picture is lungs where there are only 8% cancer left. I cannot explain this.' Then he said, 'I can explain this. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, he took my sickness on himself. And I have had friends cursing that cancer. And I know that I'm healed.' Yes. Yes. 1 week later, he goes back to the doctor. And he calls me after the visit. And he says, 'The doctor x-rayed my lungs again. And he called me into the office. And he says, I have a new picture. This picture, there is only 4% of cancer left. I cannot explain this. I don't understand this. What is happening?' And then he says, 'I can explain for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth took my cancer. And because of that, by his stripes, I'm healed.' The week after, he comes back for the last observation. And the doctor says, 'I have to admit, I have absolutely no explanation whatsoever. Because in this new picture I have of your lungs, you have new lungs.'" Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I met Dennis, and he showed me those pictures on his iPhone. And I started to dance. I was happy for that. And Dennis and his wife was even more happy. You know what that tells me? Something that I always believed, something that you always believed, is that of course when we pray for sick, they shall recover. You know what I found out when I googled mustard seed? It is that the mustard seed is a hardy and disease-resistant seed. So that means every time when I pray for a sick person, I am exercising my faith. Every time I'm speaking to a sickness, I am exercising my faith that God has given to me, just like Jesus was exercising his faith when he was speaking to the sickness and they left. When he spoke to the demon in that boy, epileptic boy, the boy was set free. He was exercising his faith. That was the mustard seed faith, and he knew when that faith attacks the sick body, being planted into that sick body, a process is starting. Sometimes that process goes faster, but for sure that process always starts whenever you speak faith. When you release the healing word into a sick body, that process always starts. And there is no way, no way, that sick body of yours, if you are sick now, that sickness, no matter what name that sickness have, could overcome that seed of faith that is being imparted, that is being planted into your body. Now, some of you are looking at me now and you are thinking, I'm not stupid. I hear what you think. But Bengt, we have experienced this and this and this, and our past is telling us something differently. I got good news for you. The old things are passed away. You see, you can never allow your past to determine your future. Now, that is the greatest mistake you would do in your life. You can never allow your history to determine where you will go. If that would be the fact, then all of us would go to hell. Because this is where we came from. But you see, what we are talking about reality here. We are talking about seeing the impossible becoming possible. Now, Dennis, it's a wonderful example of this. I could tell you a lot of other examples. The last year we have seen so many people, and I'm not talking about thousands, but I'm talking about quite a lot of people being healed. Some of them being healed directly from cancer during our meetings. Some of them has gone through a recovery. But you see, I have always had this. I mean, as long as I remember, I would have always had this attitude towards sickness. You know, I never said, pray once and don't pray more. I never say so. You know what I say? When I minister to a sick person, a person with cancer, a person with an incurable sickness, a person that is mentally ill, a person that has gone through hell in life and don't know what is right and wrong, but they are coming to the meeting, they're coming, meeting me or asking me questions, says, can you help me? Can you do something about it? I'm not saying to them, well, you know, there's something you need to believe. They don't even know what faith is. Even though it was faith, they took them there. But I'm looking at them and I'm thinking about myself as somebody who has something that I can release into that person. And I'm very determined, always when I pray for sick. I'm not just laying hands, you know, because we lay hands. And I'm not thinking, I don't feel like, oh, there's no belief there. Oh, that's like laying hand on a stone, because sometimes it is. But you know, I'm not thinking, oh, that will never be healed. You know what I'm thinking? I know the faith I have can move mountains. The faith I have never gives up. The faith I have continues. And then it continues. And then it continues. And then it continues. You know, it's just something with the nature of my faith. It's that it doesn't quit. I said it doesn't quit. your faith is stubborn. And you become stubborn. Because faith is a part of your new nature. You refuse to give up. But just as we said the first session, many times, now listen here, I'm trying to help you, because I'm not just talking to you as though you are a person with big needs. I'm talking to you as though you are a carrier of a mustard seed faith that you will bring to this city. You know, I know you already have victory. You look so happy and victorious and all of that stuff. That's okay. You have it. But I'm not, you know, this is not finished here. It doesn't finish with you. Praise God. But I'm planting seed in you so that you, in your way, can go out and give it to them. You know, when you are talking to somebody, when you are praying for somebody, your flesh will always say like this, and I say it's your flesh. Your flesh would have liked to have an explanation, just like we talked about before. You pray for somebody and they don't get healed. How many have ever prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed? Confess. Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? How many have prayed for somebody and they got healed? Look, that's better. So it means that some of you pray for people and they get healed, and some pray for people and they didn't get healed. So now we have a problem here. So are we basing our faith on, are we building our faith on your positive experience or your negative experience? You are not building your faith on any experience whatsoever. Because your experience in one way is totally irrelevant. I said your experience is totally irrelevant. When Jesus came for the first time, when he went into the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me, he has called me to preach the gospel for the poor, to give sight to those that are blind. You know, he hasn't seen a single miracle. He hasn't seen any healed. But he still stood up, and you know, 600 years earlier, or whenever it was, Isaiah, he said the same thing about him. And it was true already then. Even before Jesus came, it was true. So even if Jesus didn't have any experience of healing anyone, you know, he was 30 years. He was walking without seeing any miracle. He was looking at all the suffering in Nazareth that people went through. And he couldn't do anything. He knew he was not allowed even to try, because he couldn't do it until he saw the Father do it, until the anointing of God came upon him. So sometimes people make it wrong, you see, because they don't understand. But there is a different dimension. The dimension of faith. So that's why it can be very, very tough sometimes when you pray for Christian people. I'm sorry. It's much easier to pray for non-saved people, because they don't know anything else than to expect that God will shoot up. I'm not saying you are bad. I'm not saying anyone is bad. But we build our faith on our history. You cannot do that. Your history is a disaster. If I will build my faith on my history, poor you. I cannot build my faith on people. Many Christians do that mistake. They trust people. You know what the Bible says? You are cursed if you trust the hand of arm of flesh. I don't want to be cursed. I don't trust people. I'm sorry. I don't put my trust in you. Don't put your trust in me. You put your trust in God, and God has given you faith, and God has given me faith. You know, I was talking yesterday with a man. I was preaching in one place yesterday, and then there's always a lot of people who want to talk after, and a guy came to me and he wanted to talk to me. And I've been preaching faith, victory, and all that stuff. And this guy, he was sitting and he started to weep. You know, very sensitive. And he says, you know, I've in my history, in my past, it's like this and this, this, my family. And he started talking about his aunt, his uncle, how terrible they were, and his grandfather. And I was looking at him and said, I mean, who cares? Where are you now? He said, yeah, but you know what I have? I have so many issues in this, you know. So I said, come on. Yeah. You are here now. You are not. They are not even your parents, for God's sake. They have nothing to do with you. Their past has nothing to do with you. You are born again. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have a future. Your past is gone. The future is there. What God is saying now is that He has given you faith, and you can take that faith and you can overcome the world. Stop complaining. Don't be like a little girl. Be a man, for God's sake. I told him. And he wept a little bit more. And then I said it again. And then he stood up and he said, yes, I will do that, he said. I said, good. He said, you don't want to pray for me? Never, I said. I will not pray for you. You go ahead and you do what I told you to do. That faith overcomes this world. You need to apply that faith on your own life. Don't walk around complaining all the time about your money. I don't have money. Exercise your faith. Don't complain about your children. Stop doing that. I had a guy coming to me, and he said to me like this, you know what? My son is walking away from the Lord. I said, I don't think so. He said, yes, he is. I said, I wouldn't say so. Well, he is. He's not coming to church. Well, maybe he doesn't like really what's going on in the church. No, but you know, he's not coming with me. He's walking out in the world. It's going to go bad for him. I said, I wouldn't say so if I was you. I would say the opposite thing. And he looked at me and said, you really mean that? Yeah, I said, you know, talk about it. Pray in a different thing. Don't pray like he's lost. Pray like he's already won. I said, pray like he's already won. Don't even talk that junk. Don't go out and talk in your prayer group or your charismatic, prophetic, pathetic group, talking to each other about all the terrible thing that is, and your son is walking away from the Lord, and please pray for me, rub my head so I lose some more hair. You know, do that. I told him, shape up. I would never talk like that about my children. And he took it. And you know what? Christmas Day. I was in that church where he was a member of. His son came up to me and he said, Bengt, I have met God. My life is transformed. I'm going to become a preacher. I love Jesus. Oh, and I read your book, he said. I have given that book to everyone because my father gave me your book. And you know, it has changed my life. And his father was standing there beside. Praise God. Plant the right seeds. Plant the right seeds of faith. Don't allow your emotions to throw out a lot of rubbish on your children. Don't allow your emotions to throw out a lot of rubbish on your wives. Don't allow your emotion to throw out a lot of rubbish on your neighbors or whatever it is. Speak faith. I said, speak faith. It doesn't matter what circumstances your faith is surrounded with. Can you see it? You see the seed planted in this sick soil. And that seed is planted there. And it's taking over. And it's taking over. And it's taking over. It's breaking through. Breaking through. Breaking through. When you look at that soil later on, you don't think about it as a sick soil. You think about it as a soil that is carrying fruit. I have never been sick when I laid my hands on a sick person. I prayed for AIDS people. I prayed for people with leprosy. I prayed for all different kinds of really, really nasty sicknesses. And until this day, I've never been sick because I prayed for somebody who was sick. You know why? Because the seed of faith that I have, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that God has given to you and me, is taking over. The last thing I want to say about that seed. When I Googled, I found a fantastic story. I mean, I really got excited when I read it. It was absolutely not a Christian story, you know. It was a lot of curse words and a lot of bad stuff in the story, bad words. But the message of the story, it was one of the most powerful preaching I ever heard. It was an American farmer who was writing this article. It's taken from, some magazine somewhere. And he was so upset. Because on that year, by mistake, when he bought the seeds that he should plant on his field, it was a mistake. 1%, only 1% of the seed was faulty. It was mustard seed. So by mistake, this farmer planted 99% real seed, and then 1% was mustard seed. He didn't know that until later. Because when it was time for harvest, he couldn't see anything else than mustard. Because that 1% took over the whole field. Just imagine, 1% is taking over the whole field. Now Jesus said, if you have faith, even as a mustard seed, you shall speak to this mountain, go from there to there, and it will happen, and nothing will be impossible for you. You know what we are talking about here? Jesus is using the parable of a mustard seed because he knew, and you can read that in Matthew chapter 13, that when you plant the smallest seed of them all, the largest tree will grow up and the birds of heaven will build their nests in this tree, in their branches. Why is that so encouraging for you and me? Because I always believed. I remember the first time, actually, when I said, now this sounds a bit, you know, maybe proud, but it's not. I remember the first time I said, I believe it's possible to change a nation. It was the late end of the 80s. I came out from a meeting in a church where I was working and involved in. And there was a preacher there who was preaching about faith that overcomes the world. And it was an awesome experience. I never heard anything like it. It's like, I felt like I could lift up a skyscraper myself and throw in the sea. I remember I walked out together with a friend and we just looked at each other because both of us had a calling on our life to change the nations. And we already seen quite a lot of stuff. But we haven't until that time really dared to proclaim it. Because it sounds a little bit, almost a little bit too much to say. I believe it's possible to change a nation. I believe it's possible to break through into the most impossible places of the world. I believe it's possible. I believe this nation will have revival. I believe it's possible. I believe that nothing can stop the body of Christ marching when they march in faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has the ultimate power and authority. And when He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth," and He gave it to us, it means that wherever we go, that power is working. I believe that. He has given me that faith. I remember when I said it, I almost got embarrassed, but it felt very good. Some years later, I saw it happen. How a nation just turned. Supernaturally opened up for God. And we've seen it a few times. But it didn't. I don't build my faith on that experience. I build my faith on what's in my heart. You know what I believe? I believe all the mosques in Great Britain are there for a purpose. They got nice carpets. They don't have much shares there. So we're going to have to buy shares when we take over. Some time ago, I went into Regent Park Mosque. Loved it. Took my shoes off. I didn't want to make dirt, the carpet dirty. Some Christians said, "How can you take your shoes off when you go into the mosque?" I said, "The Bible doesn't say the devil is under your shoes. It's under your feet." I walked in there together with my wife. And we were like, Nice location. Nice carpet. Can easily, in this mosque, you can easily gather 5,000 people. Have to take some pictures out and some of the Arabic scriptures and change them. You know what I believe? I believe actually it's possible for us to change the destiny of a nation. I've been doing the last couple of years, I've been doing sessions or speeches. Been invited by churches in different places, even in UK. Very interesting. And they asked me to talk a theme, about a theme, Islam and the church. Or Islam and Christianity. And Europe. And I like that because I think I have a revelation about it. I've been working a lot in the Muslim countries and I've been talking a lot to Muslims and I've been talking even to imams and Muslim leaders in different parts of the world. And I know how the Islamic spirit works. So I've been doing that and it's very interesting. Every place until this day, wherever I have done it, the sound system breaks down. Hasn't been to one place where it didn't break down. I've done it in many places. I will do one of those speech on Tuesday night here in England. And I know I have to be prepared. It sounds stupid and breaks down. You know, I'm not standing in faith for that, but it will break down. But I know somebody's nervous about this. And it's sometimes even amusing. But then you have another sound system and they open up. Some months ago I was in Denmark. In Denmark they did this cartoon. You remember? Muhammad with a big bomb on his head. It's quite, you know, it's not that bad, but I mean, I don't think it's necessary to do that, you know, provoke and so, but you're absolutely free to do it when you live in Europe. I mean, you can paint, you can do whatever you want, because we are a democratic country, and we have the freedom of speech, very important. I was invited to this place, and they had organized one of those meetings, and of course, that's a very hot topic. So quite a lot of people came, and among them, quite few radical Islamists. And they were sitting there, and I was speaking. I usually speak for 1 hour, and then most of the time it's quiet and nice, but sometimes people speak out. And this time in Denmark, there was this particular radical Muslim. He stood up, and he started shouting. And he shouted against me. And there many Christians there, they got very nervous. But I liked it. It's better they shout than fall asleep. So he shouted and he said I was wrong, but I had a microphone. And they had just got the sound system to work again. So I shouted back. And then he shouted to me, and I shouted louder. He looked very angry, I looked very happy. And we had this conversation in the hall. No, it was great. But some Christians even took his side and they said that you are rude, don't say like that, you will, you know, and they start attacking me. I told them, you're ridiculous, just be quiet, I'm talking to him. And you know, when the meeting was over, this Muslim man, he ran forward to meet me. And he come and give me a big hug. And he says, I love you. I said, I love you too. He says, you are the first person that I heard dare to speak out what you believe. And he said like this, exactly this, I want to be a part of your church. And this was on a Thursday night. And on the Saturday night in that city, I was scheduled to have a revival meeting. And he said to me, I know you will have a meeting in that church. I will be there and I will bring all my friends. They will love this. On the Saturday night, the church was packed. And you had this guy sitting in the back, smiling with a big smile on his face. And he had invited his friends. And I was thinking when I looked at it, and the pastor in that church said, where do they come from? I said, you know, they come from that meeting we had. He has loved it. You know why? Because faith always takes over. Now it's possible to change the destiny of a nation. It's possible to change the destiny of this nation. It's possible to change the destiny of this town. Of course you're going to have a new building, a big building. Because there's faith here. But the first one we need to change is ourselves. In what way? We need to start looking at what we have. And not on what you don't have. All my children, I have 4 children. And I promise you, we have lived a tough life on the edge a lot. If you know me and my wife and my family, you know we've been in a lot of interesting situations. But we always prayed by faith over our children. And I tell you, all my children, I'm not bragging, you know. They are on fire for Jesus. They are bearing fruit. They are leading people to the Lord. I've seen all of them this week. They live in different places in the world. And I've seen all of them. And I'm just thankful, of course. But at the same time, I know, you know what you plant. You release the word. You release faith. Very important. I'm speaking to some of you here. This farmer said, this seed is a troublesome seed. I like that. I'm going to talk about that tonight a little bit more. Because I believe it's time again, 2,000 years later, to turn this world upside down. Amen? Let's stand up on our feet.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.